All right, so we are going to talk about the Russian Revolution starting today, okay? So when we did World War I and All Quiet on the Western Front, we only talked about the West. That's why I brought up the question today of what is the Eastern Front. So we're going to talk about the Russian Revolution. Everybody seen a picture like this before?
Yeah.
Okay. Soviet Russia, things like that. Really typical, red. You got the hammer and sickle, the star, things like that. Although this picture in the background is Paris, and well, it's the whole world. You got the Eiffel Tower, Tower of London, pyramids, Istanbul, things like that. And it's written in Russian. So we're going to talk about how we get to this starting today, but getting there later, probably tomorrow. So this is the guy that's in charge of Russia during World War I.
He looks like that one actor.
Okay. His name is Tsar Nicholas II. Let me point out, there might be some differences here in how you spell Tsar. You can either spell it T-Z-A-R, T-S-A-R, or C-Z-A-R. Either way. But that's just the title. It's like king or anything like that. They just, instead of using the word king, they use the word czar. Okay? So, his family has ruled Russia for 300 years. Okay? So, that's the Romanov dynasty. Been around for a long, 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 long time. They pretty much created Russia as it was. Okay? So, that's the interesting thing about World War I. You had democracies like America, Great Britain, things like that, and France. Then you still had kings and czars and emperors fighting as well. Okay, so it's a huge difference. Real fancy looking guy. We're good? Make a move. Pretty. All right, this is his family. Although his son is kind of hard to see there. So here's his wife here. These are his four daughters. And then that's his son, Nicholas III. Okay. So, pretty famous royal family, actually. But pretty well loved. This family was absolutely beloved. Now, anybody seen this guy before?
Looks
very creepy would be an understatement. Looks extremely creepy.
He kind of looks like a weird Russian version of Charles Manson. Looks like a human
Sasquatch. Human Sasquatch, Rasputin? Yeah, this is Rasputin. Anybody heard of that name before, Rasputin?
Yeah.
Okay. Extremely creepy looking person. Okay. Yeah, real human being and is extremely creepy and scary in his own self. So Rasputin, okay, worked for the king, for the czar. Okay. So he was a holy man. He was a priest.
What?
Okay. Oh yeah, this is him going back to the picture. That's him wearing his tunic. His
he doesn't look that bad in that one, but the other one.
Whoa. Whoa, I don't know what just happened here.
I saw Darth Vader. Where did he
go from? Well, let's get back to this thing.
Well, I screwed up for
him. Yeah, going back to this picture, you can see this is his, you know, his holy garb. You can see he's even wearing, like, a cross around his neck. His arm is just covering it. So who Rasputin was, and why would you want somebody that's this creepy around your family? Well, like I said, he was a holy man. He was also considered a mystic. Back in this time period, mysticism and prophecies and stuff like that was believed in, like as science, okay? Science hadn't really taken off, but this was considered something huge, being able to talk to the afterlife, things like that. So he was considered a mystic. Also had prophecies, would give prophecies out to the royal family or people of huge importance, and was believed to some extent, okay? What the big thing is, one of his big roles is he was the family doctor. Okay, so he was holy man, prophet, advisor, but doctor to the family. Mainly was extremely loved by the Tsarina, the wife, the queen. Okay, the king wasn't, the Tsar wasn't a huge fan of him, mainly because he's a creepy dude. Okay, like anybody would see that. But the Tsarina loved him. And was a full, devout follower of his, okay? And it became to the point where it was believed that he was the most powerful voice in the government, that the family had just become so devout to this guy's beliefs and his craziness that he was in charge of the country. Okay, but yeah, this guy, can you imagine that guy as a kid growing up? He's like your doctor. I mean, kids are afraid to go to the doctors already. Then you have that creepy looking dude.
Was he nice?
Okay. Does he look nice?
Well, looks could be deceiving.
He looks like Santa from hell. Okay.
Hell, Santa.
So, anyways, here's a little video about the death of him, which is just a fun story to talk about. All right, so the reason why I play that is probably one of the coolest death stories in history. So the guy was considered so in touch with the family that these guys are just going to assassinate him, so they poison him with, you know, wine and cake, so much so that it would have killed multiple people. And he's just sitting there just drinking and eating along, and these guys are like, no way, you have got to be dead. And so then they shoot him, and they're like, oh, hooray, he's dead. Go up, let's go have a drink. And one guy's like, something doesn't feel right. Come down, they shake him, he gets up, and he starts running around. And then they shoot him four more times, including in the head, then wrap him up and throw him into a frozen river, where then he later breaks free and then dies down the river. And his autopsy is that he did not die of the poisoning or being shot multiple times, but from drowning.
What? I don't know about that.
What's not to know? It's fact. Okay.
So,
just kind of a crazy story nonetheless. This guy was this crazy person in history with immense power, but a weird way to die. One of the most intense ways to die.
He looked pretty big. Maybe he just...
All right. Oh, yeah, he was like 6'8". He was like this huge dude, okay? So anyways, this leads to what we need to talk about. It's called the February Revolution, even though it happened in March. Welcome to history. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense some days, okay? The reason why is the Russians use their own calendar system, okay? Because they got to be special. So the February Revolution, which happened in March, 1917. So what's going on in 1917? World War I, you're right, smack dab in the middle of it, 1914 to 1919. You are smack dab right in the middle of World War I. And this happens. Probably like the least opportune time to have a civil war, okay, or a revolution, okay? You're currently fighting a war. All right, so here's what's going on. Protesters are angry. Well, why? They're losing the war. Russia had some of the worst amount of deaths in the entire war. The reason why is they were not well equipped. They would have a gun for like two people. You get the bullets, you get the gun.
What?
Work together. Okay. They also had extremely bad tactics. Why? Because they had a boatload of people. So they just figured, we'll just overrun them. Well, that doesn't work well when they have machine guns. Okay. So, they were losing, okay? There was also no food. And the Tsar, they felt like, was not listening. By no food, I'm going to go into that in a second here, but you can see in this picture here, you see this, like, long line? Okay? They're not waiting for the new Xbox. All right? That is the line for food, bread rations. You would have to go line up at the bread store and buy it, and that would be only a portion of the line. And yes, the military was there, so you didn't cut. If you cut that line, they would. You would not live very long.
Hey, you can eat your Xbox.
So, these are some of the reasons why the protesters are angry. So they're losing the war. There's no food.
Russia has the weirdest.
Oh, Russia's got the most weirdest history in the world. And then explaining their current government's even weirder. I took a class on it in college, and like they gave me a flow chart, and I was like, this makes zero sense. And they're like, I know.
But
we haven't even, we're just cracking the beginning of it. But we can understand why people would get angry for this. There's no food. You're going to get angry. You're losing a war. You're going to get angry.
Like France.
Now, I know this is a lot of writing, and you can summarize this as much as you want, but I wanted to kind of explain why some of those things. So, why were they angry about the war? Well, men were conscripted, forced to join. Okay? If you were a fighting man, pretty much of the age of 14 and up, you did not have a choice. You went into the military. Also, huge increase in urban population. What do I mean by urban? No, not different countries.
That's foreign.
Urban.
Cities.
Huge increase in cities. Why? Because they needed more factory workers. Okay. Less farmers, more factory workers. Why? They need to build guns and bullets and tanks and things like that.
It was mostly a rifle war, right? They all had rifles, but they had pistols too. Why didn't they use those?
They more had rifles than pistols. Okay. Inflation. What is inflation? Anybody know what that is?
Yeah.
What is it, babe?
It's when the government gets too much of something or too. I don't know if it's inflation or deflation, or the government gets too much money, and then it just lasts with money. Them being overloaded with money.
You're close. You're very close. Okay. So inflation is when the price of something goes up, okay? Everything is going up. So, in this case, okay, prices of everything went up because the government needed money to pay for the war. So, bread prices went up by like 100%, okay, doubling everything. So, when you raise the price of something, say you raise the price of everything, what does that do to the value of your money? Lowers it. Your money is now worth less. Okay. If I make everything in this country go up by twice as much tomorrow, your money is now worth what?
Less.
Half as much. Okay. This is why anybody gone to Mexico or heard like the peso isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on there. Cost of everything is so high, so it takes like 500 pesos to equal a dollar. So, this is what happens in Russia. So, all the money that you had, you think you were a rich person, and you're sitting on this boatload of, in Russia, that's called rubles, okay? Now, everything costs more, so it is worth less today than it was yesterday, even though you have the same amount of money. It's just worth less, okay? Also, the government took all the transportation. There are no cars, and there's no gas, even if you had a car. So you were stuck wherever you were. So that sucks as well. And then lack of food. This is why there was a lack of food. Army had first dibs. They got to take all the food that they wanted, which wasn't enough for their people. Also, we already said, more people in factories. That means less people growing food. So you have bigger increase, less people growing it. You don't have to write this, but I wanted to show you this. Here's what the price of flour went up by. Why is flour important?
Bread.
Anything. It's the cheapest way to make food. Flour and water equals pizza and bread and tortillas and whatever else you like. It went up by 100%. 99%, 100%. Between 1913 and 1916, meat prices went up 232%. Yeah, you ain't buying meat. Butter went up by 124%. You ain't buying butter no more. And finally, salt by 483%. Guess what? Everything just got a whole lot salt, less salty in your life.
Except for your feelings.
Yeah. So this is what I mean by ridiculousness. Okay? Most people in Russia were poor to begin with. And now, you're really poor. Where you can't afford a thing, and that's where you would get those huge bread lines. I mean, thousands of people would line up around the block for bread, and they'd sell out like that. So people would wait outside in Russia for days.
Oh, so cold.
Yeah, like way colder than anywhere else in the world. We're talking like, it's a balmy negative 30 degrees out, not including wind. Yeah. So, pretty intense time. So you can see where people would get angry. Am I good? I can move with this?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I hate your computer. All right. So this is what the... This computer sucks.
You get to look at birds.
Yeah. It's mocking me. There we go. All right. So here's what they did. They attacked police stations and government buildings. Why? Well, because they represent the government. Your authority. You must be hiding bread and stuff. So they attack them. So this is a cool picture, so you can see. We're not talking a small amount of protesters either.
I wish that was
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean good.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to that in a second. So, people line up and they attack things. Yay, they're standing up for their rights. But that's not good. Not a good way to stand up for your rights. So, the government, of course, has got to do something. This is what they do. They shoot them. The military then starts shooting all of the protesters who are unarmed. It's not like this country where people have guns. In every other country in the world, you practically don't own guns unless it's a hunting rifle, which isn't very effective in fighting an army.
Well done.
Okay? So, they open fire and kill the protesters. You're marching for food and you're dying, and then boom, 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 you're all shot and killed. Not such a great protest after all. Okay? Life just became horribly worse, more oppressive. The army is fighting you.
Damn it, we just shot our new troops.
Here's a picture. Same protest that you saw before. Not doing so well anymore. Those people aren't taking a nap in the middle of the street there.
Did they shoot the ones that are running away?
Yeah. It's the military. They don't care.
Oh, yeah, they don't. They're kind of like...
Guess what happens if you say no?
You get shot.
They kill you. So you, I mean, the people that are that are in the military, they're not like they're evil people. Remember, they were conscripted. They were forced to be there. But their option is follow the rule or you get shot. So it's a pretty rough situation either way you go.
I mean, it's kind of like in a battle where you, when they blow the whistle to attack and they try to run back without getting a gun ready to shoot.
Right. That's true there. But I mean, at least in that situation, you could feel maybe a little bit morally better because you're going to attack the enemy. This could literally be your family. Your cousin, your buddies, your coworkers.
Five orphans.
Okay? You can do that. And at least those people had guns to protect themselves. These people had a hammer. If that. Okay? So, here's what happens. The Tsar dissolves the Dumas. This is like their Congress, their representation. Okay? What do you think is going to be an issue with that? So the Tsar has, it's like our government here. There's a president, and then there's a representative form of government. Okay? In their country, the representative form of government doesn't have a lot of power, but what does a representative form of government make the people feel like?
Important.
Important? Why do they make them feel like they're important?
Because they feel like they got someone on their side.
They get a voice in the conversation.
But then he takes that away.
And then he takes it away, and then gives them an order. Shoot any unruly protester.
Yes.
So, he has now shot innocent people who are starving because of a war that he started, okay, or a war that he was blamed for. Okay. And now he takes away the people's only voice in government and tells the army to shoot anybody that doesn't like it.
It's okay at the end. We'll just blame the Germans.
Now, what are soldiers, though? Citizens, they're people. Are they going to be happy that they got rid of their form of government? Hell no, they ain't going to be happy about that either. So this is what they do. They say, I'm not going to shoot the people anymore. And they turn around and shoot their officers. Okay? The army literally rebels. Okay, here's a great picture of it. See all these soldiers? There's a picture of the Tsar and they burn the picture. So what literally happens is a famous event. Protesters are marching again. There looks like there's going to be a big battle in Petrograd, which was the capital at the time. And all the army's sitting there in the middle. They have to cross these bridges. And it always comes down to bridges in battles. But they're going to cross these bridges, and the army's set up. And as the people approach, the army officers are yelling, fire, fire, fire. Nobody fires. Nobody fires, nobody fires. And finally, someone turns around and shoots the officer. And this happens all around Russia. It spreads. Okay? And the army literally joins the protesters in rebelling against the government. So,
do you think like the protesters were like super shocked to just see one go shoot an officer?
Well, I'd be super excited. all the people with guns now just joined your side. Typically, when you're fighting in a revolution, the people with the most guns wins. So that's helpful. Typically, you know, as a historian, when you look at it, team with the most guns typically wins.
We didn't have the most guns, and we still won the revolution.
True. Actually, we did have the most guns. So here's what happens. Oh, that's kind of hard to read. So, March 15, 1917, the Tsar steps down. Okay? This ends 300 years of Romanov control. This is the problem, though. He steps down and he says, my brother will now be in charge. And his brother's like, hell no, I'm not getting involved in this. So then it goes right back to him.
What? Really?
Yeah. Well, would you blame his brother? They just overthrew the country.
So he steps down and then gets re...
Well, it gets like this weird, wishy-washy, confusing things.
They take him down again?
Yeah. Well, it's like no one in charge, but his brother's not stepping in being like, yes, I'll be Tsar. Right? He's like, hell no, they just took over the army and the city, so I'm not getting involved.
Who will be Tsar? How about that man?
Okay, so this guy takes... This is what happens, though. Well, you can't just let him sit around. Are they still going to be angry with him?
They guillotine him?
Guillotine him? No. We're too fast past the guillotine. So this is what happens. They break into the palace in the middle of the night. He still had loyal troops to him. They escort him and his family down to the basement to the secret escape so they can get out of the palace. And what happens downstairs, as soon as they get into the basement, they execute all of the family. They killed the entire family. The troops.
So the
palace was getting attacked, and they escorted the family. Well, think about it. You're a faithful soldier working next to the king. You are being attacked by a greater force, and you know you're probably going to lose anyways.
Oh, you just joined.
How do you save your butt? Oh, look, you can't get mad at me. I killed the Tsar. Probably, you know, it's a brutal move, but, you know, understandably. So this is what happens. So they execute the entire royal family. Absolutely shoot them. I mean, these are children, like 6-year-old boy. Okay? 12-year-old girl. Okay? Just kill them all. Okay? Unarmed in the middle of the night. Now, anybody heard of this movie? Okay? Who knows what the basis of this movie was?
Well, that weird creepy guy is Rasputin.
Yeah, the weird creepy guy in the bottom right is Rasputin.
That's all.
Anybody?
She, like, lost royalty.
Lost royalty. That's right, okay? So this is the story about Anastasia, okay? Anastasia was the youngest daughter of Tsar Nicholas II.
What?
Yeah, that was her real name, okay? And it was rumored that her and the young son, Nicholas III, survived that attack, okay? We were able to find, we could dig into the basement and found the bones of everybody but those two. Could not find them. Then people came forward in history and said, I am Anastasia, I am so-and-so. And they would publicly declare that's who they are. And they would do lie detector tests and blood tests and do all that. And it's been a mystery for, you know, ever since then of what happened to her. Okay, and that's what the Disney movie was about. And yes, that's supposed to be Rasputin and his craziness. I almost think he looks crazier in real life. Okay. I mean, that's like evil looking. He's creepy there, but like, I don't know, the other one looks like way creepier.
Wait, so is the bat movie supposed to be like one of his little minions or something?
I think, yeah.
I think it's because it's in black and white. Anything in black and white is 10 times creepier.
Unfortunately, though, none of the people throughout history that claimed to be Anastasia actually were. In the last 10 years, we actually discovered the bones of Anastasia and her young brother, just discarded slightly different places. So the bodies were moved and thrown into an unmarked grave. So these are actually the bones of Anastasia and her young brother, who did not survive the attack, even though for 50-plus years we thought that they might have.
Do you think it's because they felt bad that they put the kids' bodies in different places?
No. I think it was a rushed assassination attempt, and people just didn't really particularly care. Okay. So, yeah, a lot of people through history claim to be it. Yet again, another Disney movie that lied to you.